there's a huge amount of hype around AI, especially at the moment. But seriously, there are so many businesses being built and funded, so much money being made by other people, and not nearly enough women in this space. I know that only 4% of AI founders are women, so I would love to change that. Hello and welcome back to the Women of Web3 podcast. I'm Lauren Ingram and I'm the founder of Women of Web3. We're a community and a consultancy, and we've been educating thousands of women about Web3 and sharing jobs, events and learning resources like this podcast. In every episode, I'll be interviewing an incredible leader about their learnings. We start off by breaking down the Web3 jargon, then we head deeper down the rabbit hole. Please do subscribe and give us a rating. It really helps more people find the podcast. This episode is proudly brought to you by BlackBerry. Now, I know what you're thinking. BlackBerry, that's a blast from the past. They are still very much here, and their product, Cylance AI, is at the forefront of using predictive artificial intelligence for stopping real-world cyber threats. Now, we all know that scams and phishing attacks are on the rise, but the reality is that while more of these attacks are powered by AI, it's not enough to just have humans solve for this. You need to develop even smarter AI in order to protect against bad actors. Cylance is the cybersecurity solution for businesses building the future of the internet, and it outperforms all the major competitors, detecting threats up to 13 times faster. BlackBerry is not only the most forward-thinking and effective AI solution when it comes to cybersecurity, they're also leading in the effort to support women working in cybersecurity, AI, and emerging tech. So it feels like there's really great alignment there with what we're doing at Women of Web3. You can find out more about Cylance AI by visiting blackberry.com or use the link in the show notes. Today's episode is going to be a little bit different. So instead of interviewing a leading woman in the emerging tech space, you're going to be hearing from me, Lauren Ingram, and I'll be giving you a bit of a careers masterclass. If you've already got a deep expertise in things like blockchain or AI and you're very happy in your job, this might not be the right episode for you. But if you are a bit newer to the space, or maybe you're concerned about how AI impacts your job, then you're definitely in the right place. I'll be making sense of the emerging tech landscape and helping you feel more confident of your place within it. You'll also hear a bit about my own story from losing my job in tech to starting and growing Women of Web3. For those of you who don't already know me, I'm Lauren Ingram. I'm the founder of Women of Web3, and I'm on a mission to demystify this burgeoning Web3 emerging tech and AI space and bring in as many women as possible so that we don't get left behind in the next iteration of the internet. So if you don't know my backstory, I've spent the last 13 years in tech and digital agencies. I spent a couple of years at Meta leading their women's training programs, and that's ultimately where I lost my job within the same couple of weeks that I found out I was pregnant. So that was bloody terrible timing. And I also have the two-year-old to prove it. But yeah, it was really terrible timing at that point, but ultimately has led me where I am today. So I'm actually really pleased about how things panned out. At the point that I was pregnant and applying for jobs, in that period of time, I applied for a total of 106 jobs. And I know this because I still have the spreadsheet. I even looked at it a few days ago, and it kind of reminded me of it wasn't a great time. And so I know that anyone that's been, you know, laid off or in a sort of long period of trying to find a job, it is quite demoralizing. And you do end up losing a sense of what you're really good at. I know that I was even still applying for jobs when I was 8.5 months pregnant. I can see that on the spreadsheet by what date it is. And it's quite sad, really. But as I say, it's ultimately led me to where I am. So I really do take the positives from it. And I did do some paid freelance work in that time, but I was so fixated on getting a permanent job. I thought that's what you had to do if you were having a baby. There was like, you know, get a proper permanent job, or don't know. Like, I could not even see another option. It was just like, or like, you're sort of dead to me. So after that point, once I had my baby, I decided, okay, now is the right time to upskill myself. You know, it obviously like took some time out. I wasn't sort of applying constantly after I had my baby, but then wanted to upskill and secure a position in tech. And I was convinced I wanted to stay in big tech. So I was applying for like Amazon, Twitter, Google, all of that. And I was getting as far as interview. I just ultimately was getting pipped to the post in the final stages, and I wasn't getting the jobs. But the more I was learning about things like NFTs and the metaverse, it sort of caught my attention as this way of, yeah, like trying to upskill and stand out in a tricky jobs market. And the more I learned, the more obsessed I became. And I was like, oh, actually, maybe this is the main thing I need to be in. Maybe I don't need to be in the biggest tech companies of the world. I need to be in the like bleeding edge of technology instead. And I could also see a serious lack of women. And so Women of Web3 was born. And I'm telling you all of this because I know how it feels to have that big dark cloud of uncertainty hanging over your job prospects. So for me, it was pregnancy and being mid-pandemic. It was about a year into the pandemic. But for a lot of you, it might be that you've seen a lot of headlines about AI coming for your jobs. I want to go through a few quick definitions first, as I know a lot of you are beginners in this space, and the amount of jargon plus the tech itself can feel really overwhelming. So what do we mean by Web3? Web3 or Web 3.0, it's the next major iteration of the internet. So if Web 1 was websites, or just, you know, the internet as we as we know and love it. Web 2 was the dawn of social media, kind of the early 2000s onwards. And then Web 3, which we're entering now, that's mainly blockchain-based technologies like crypto, like NFTs, which are non-fungible tokens, but we won't sort of go fully down that rabbit hole for now. But it also encompasses things like the metaverse and, to some extent, AI. So at Women of Web 3, we have this quite broad definition of Web 3, which is, yes, we're talking about the third major version of the internet. And AI is powering that big shift, and things like virtual reality, and so that's VR, and extended reality, XR, that's very much part of this next internet. And when we talk about AI or artificial intelligence, these days what we're actually talking about is generative AI. So that means it generates new things like new text or imagery from these massive data sets that we feed it. So things like ChatGPT or Midjourney that can generate imagery, and we can use it just by using natural language, aka speaking to a tool like it's a human. So now we're on the same page in terms of the basics of the technology. I can tell you some of the opportunities that are out there for you. There are three ways you can look at this, and I think all three routes involve some upskilling in emerging tech, but all of them are suitable for non-technical people. So first route is you could get a job in an AI company or a Web3 company. OpenAI have lots of vacancies, and lots of big blockchain and crypto companies are also hiring. There are some really high salaries to be had, so definitely go and do some Googling. Or you could take on a role that weaves in AI or Web3 into the job itself. So you might be taking on something like an emerging tech lead within a traditional or corporate company. You could just go on LinkedIn, actually, in the job section and just search something like AI plus whatever your current specialism is. So like if I search AI marketing, that pulls up over 400 jobs just in the UK. Or third option, which is also what I did, is to start your own company in this space. That actually wasn't my plan originally. I was just so passionate about this area and the need to demystify and help make it accessible to everyone. I just started sharing content under the Women of Web3 name, and it soon snowballed as people wanted to basically pay me to help them understand this area. So it didn't matter that I wasn't a sort of full expert at this point. It was a nascent technology, and the fact that I was two or three steps ahead of everybody else was all that really mattered. And actually, that's all you need at the moment. You don't need to be a sort of, I'm an artificial intelligence expert. No, you just need to be embracing this stuff and learning more about it. And yeah, one or two steps ahead of your peers. So those three routes, again, that's an AI native company or an AI native role within a normal company, or normal in inverted commas, or start your own thing. And I know all of that can sound quite intimidating because I know you might not live and breathe this stuff yet, and that's fine. Today is the day you start your commitment to learning more. I also know there's a huge amount of hype around AI, especially at the moment, but seriously, there are so many businesses being built and funded, so much money being made by other people, and not nearly enough women in this space. I know that only 4% of AI founders are women, so I would love to change that. I also want to address the elephant in the room when it comes to AI and jobs. I know I mentioned earlier, lots of you are fearful about AI automating your job and making it redundant. There are lots of scary headlines about this. And yes, AI can automate a lot of things in our jobs, but it can automate the things that we're not that interested to do, like, you know, writing website copy about 30 different types of shoes. It's not the kind of most fulfilling work that's being automated necessarily. So actually, we should see it as a major advantage and way of either doing our jobs quicker or doing the parts that we don't want to do. Yes, there will be layoffs, but it's not only about AI. There are lots of layoffs happening regardless, as we're kind of coming into this whole new phase economically, politically, AI-wise, it's kind of, we're in a really big shift. So if you are laid off, it does feel awful. And I know that. I've been there, I've done that. Basically, I've got the t-shirt. And it's not your fault. If your role is being made redundant, if you're being laid off, actually, so I think redundant is quite a UK term, but for, I know we've got a lot of global listeners. So basically, it's not your fault. Once you kind of try and depersonalize it like that, it can start to feel a bit better. Yeah, do what you can to not take it personally. I know it can feel really shit, basically, but what I would say is do start telling people. So certainly in a social sense, again, I know it's really hard, but it's important because people will start knowing that you're looking for a new role, or that, you know, that also it's a tricky time. So people will kind of keep an eye out for stuff for you. Do share it on your LinkedIn. Again, it might feel really cringe or really like you just don't want to do it. So maybe just do it when you feel able to. But say my position was laid off or my position was made redundant, rather than saying I was made redundant. So you're kind of, yeah, depersonalizing it, and sort of, it is a passive thing. Like you were part of a not very nice process. So you can own that and then just get really specific about what you'd like to do next and be forthcoming about that in a LinkedIn post or, you know, in sharing regularly. Tell people what you're looking for and also keep sharing the stuff that you're interested in, and that will get in front of the right eyeballs, the right people, and they will start recommending you for stuff or they'll start following you. So, which is just, you know, just half the battle. I would also actually recommend there's a podcast called To Whom It May Concern. That's by Maddie Riley. She also used to work at Meta, and I think she's got an episode about redundancy and layoffs and about the sort of emotional impact of that. So I'd go and have a listen to that as well. And if you have been laid off, I would really highly recommend creating a spreadsheet to keep track of your job applications, just so that it's not a kind of chaos on your laptop. I'll talk a bit more about that in a moment. Actually, if you give the podcast a review and if you screenshot it and post it online and tag at Women of Web3 Co, I'm going to send you a useful PDF of all the things that I wish I knew when I lost my job in tech. And I will also send you a spreadsheet, a template for tracking your job applications, so you can just fill in yourself. I'll color code it so you can visually see your progress. I'll admit, if you're a Notion whiz, I bet Notion is much better for being able to track your progress in that sense. I personally haven't made the sort of full jump yet. I'm more of a Google Drive gal at the moment. Like I say, if you screenshot it and tag at Women of Web3 Co, if you leave us a review, I will send you this PDF and spreadsheet template. So let's get into the actual applying for jobs. Whether you're looking for a new job or you've been laid off, I would highly recommend creating a spreadsheet, as I say, so to keep track of your job applications. So either grab the one that I'm making, or you can just make a spreadsheet yourself and include a column with the role you've applied for, the link to where it's advertised. I would also copy and paste the job description into a separate document, because often by the time you're interviewing for the role or kind of further along that process, they've taken down the advert and you'll need to be able to keep referring back to it and using their same keywords back to them in those interviews. Have a column with the link to your Google Doc or whatever you're using to write your cover letter and resume, or CV as we call it here. I would also do a slightly tailored resume for every job you apply for using the keywords that are in that job spec. I know that obviously takes a lot longer, but it does give you a better chance of getting to interview stage, partly because it will probably be an AI that is reading what you submit. And so it's just doing a matching exercise of, are you saying that you can do the things that they're advertising? Great. Okay, that's a match. Let's put you forward for interview. So have a column with salary as well. I wouldn't bother with a column about when the applications are due, because they can often close them early if there's lots of interest. If I want a job, I'm just going to apply straight away, or I can go and stalk the hiring manager on LinkedIn, or just see if there's anyone I'm loosely connected to that company that could basically, if there's anything they could do to sort of help me go and get there or get as far as interview. Another column to make note of your progress. So, you know, for example, were you rejected, or when is the date of the interview? And then use that to be following up regularly. I know this is sounding like overkill, but if you're serious about a job hunt, or especially if you've been looking for a long time, this will make your life a lot easier. So you'll just get into the habit of it. Something I didn't do when I was job hunting, but wish I did do, was to make a note in that spreadsheet of why I didn't get the job. I did make notes of it in my physical notebook after calls with recruiters and things, and they'd give me the bad news. But I think if I'd actually seen it on a spreadsheet of like, okay, here's 10 employers giving the same reason why I'm being rejected, that would have been really good data for changing my approach. So in terms of getting a job specifically in Web3, AI, and wider emerging tech, I have a few thoughts and recommendations. So firstly, think about what type of company you want to work for. Do you want to work for a startup or a corporate? Because it's a really different working environment. Startups can give you loads of freedom to do kind of what you want, and you might have quite a broad role where you're allowed to sort of be creative or be more operational and organizy. You might be able to flex different muscles. In a larger corporate, you might be a little bit more pigeonholed as to what you can do. Having said that, working in a corporate is really, really helpful pre-working in a startup, so you can get a sense of how things are normally done. And then when you go and work in a startup, it can be a lot more chaotic and bending the rules, but at least you'll have a sense of what's normal. But thinking about a sort of pivot to this area, yeah, just think about, you know, what kind of team setup do you want to be in? What do you ultimately want out of this? Because yes, there's loads of amazing opportunity in the emerging tech and AI and incorporating into your job. But what is it that actually excites you? Is it the actual technology itself? Or what is it that excites you? And what is it that actually brings you joy in your working life? And just think about that. And sometimes it might actually be your teammates that, you know, maybe that comes front and center for you is thinking about who you're working with. So second thing I'd do is customize your resume so that it pulls out relevant experience, including what you've been doing to learn about this area, because I appreciate you might not have experience. So if you're spending your evenings deep diving into this stuff, make that clear, like highlight that even just in your sort of little description at the very top of your resume. Also, if there's any mention in the job spec of needing a certain amount of experience, especially in Web3 companies, I think just definitely apply anyway. They have painfully low numbers of women applying for these roles. When we were speaking to quite a lot of Web3 companies last year, they were getting between like 2 and 5% female applicants for jobs. So just bowl in. And these companies can't expect everyone to have already worked in Web3. That's such a limited pool of people, especially, you know, it's still so niche. So just showcase your interest in this area. And then at interview stage, then you get a chance to you know, just actually hash out, okay, here's how much experience I have. I'm really obsessed with this area of tech, and therefore, you know, I can sort of learn the actual, I can learn the tech on the job, but I've already got the right skills to be able to implement that stuff. There are tons of jobs out there in Web3, AI, AR, VR, and the metaverse. So please don't ever think that you're too late to start learning about this stuff or to pivot your job. In the next couple of years, it's going to be so normal to use AI all the time in your job, same as we use the internet constantly for our jobs. I remember in 2015, when my job was based at the first WeWork in London, the Wi-Fi kept dropping out because it was a new building and we just literally couldn't do our jobs. And so it would, if it dropped out for hours, we'd all just get sent home, or in practice, because it's London, we also would just go to the pub. But yes, AI will be as normal as Wi-Fi. And so you might as well get to grips with it now. And like I say, you don't need to be technical. And sure, you can go and make a shit ton of money if you can code, or if you're an analyst or product manager, but there are plenty of totally non-technical jobs out there, and actually also really well paid. They're just like the same functions and jobs as you see in, you know, everything that's on your resume so far. Just transfer that into a new area, a new way of working. Or as I say, there's also option three, which is go and make your own thing. So do come and find me on LinkedIn. I'm Lauren Ingram, or follow me on Instagram. I'm currently a bit of a nobody on there, but I've just started sharing regular AI tips to get you started. I'm on @Lauren_Web3. This has been your mini careers masterclass. Thank you, and let us know how you get on. Thanks for listening to the Women of Web3 podcast. I've been your host, Lauren Ingram. Please do give us a review on Apple Podcasts, Spotify, or wherever you get your podcasts. It really helps more women, more people find the show. Check out our website, womenofweb3.co, to come and join our talent collective and get your profile seen by potential Web3 employers. Or you can choose to be anonymous if you prefer. If you're at a company that's looking to understand Web3 better, or you want to support women in this space, do get in touch with us on our website. And if you've got any questions, any comments, tweet us @womenofweb3co or find us on LinkedIn, and we'll see you next Tuesday morning.